Is there a way to rebuild our relationship, or is there just too much trauma?
Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
Brandon, good to see you, man. Thanks for covering the last couple of weeks.
Dude, you're back, man. I started to wonder. I thought you'd retired. I figured you were like on the beach, you know, living the good life or whatever.
I can't stay away, man. You know me. I'm a workaholic.
No, man. Yeah, every Tuesday I was getting pictures of like giant fish you were catching and elk you were hunting and just like the outdoorsman.
What? It's been a pretty productive like last couple of weeks.
Perpetual outdoorsman, just the wandering therapist, just roaming the mountains.
I was fearful that we were going to have to do an episode on resentment, that you were resenting that I was gone having fun for 2 weeks. So
no, I wouldn't call it resentment. I call it maybe jealousy. Okay, I don't know if I call it resentment.
Yeah, we're good. Well, good. I'm glad you held down the fort, and I'm glad to be back. So
yeah, it was fine. I think we got the job done. So, but yeah. We missed you.
Yeah. Well, good.
So we got Sandra and Todd here with us today. Sandra, Todd, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
If you guys could give us a little bit of background, some context to what's going on with you guys, and then just ask any questions from there.
Yeah. So, we've been married for 11 years, together for 16. Within that 11 year marriage, we were separated for roughly 3 to 4 years. During that time, I've had a series of affairs, and around a year ago, we were graced with our first child. During Sandra's pregnancy, I had an affair, and what we're trying to do is figure out how to move forward. Together as a family, and of course we have so much trauma over the past several years that it makes it difficult. So question for you guys is, how do we solve this? How do we move forward? How do we have a happy life?
And so you guys, I mean, are obviously here together, which is great. You're both asking the same question, I think. Just so that I understand, you guys have been together for several years now, and there's been a pattern. So it hasn't just been a one-time affair or the same person over and over again. It's been multiple different affairs over the years.
Sure. That's right.
Okay. Has it been interspersed with periods of honesty or periods of fidelity, or has it always just been kind of been there with something that's been extra?
It's been... There have been all incestuous. There's been periods of fidelity. There has not been periods of honesty about past infidelities, but there's been periods of honesty in current time. But there's always been hidden.
Okay. So if I heard that right, basically there's been periods of fidelity, but there's never really been straight honesty in the relationship.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. All right. What, and then I'm guessing that the birth of your child is kind of what's helping to facilitate you guys coming on the show and asking these questions. What else brought it about now? Like, why are you here now asking these questions?
Yeah, so we've invested a lot of time and effort in therapy over the last, I'll call it, decade. Both of us have, individually and jointly, and you know, we're continuing to try to figure out ways. We've been long listeners of your show and really have appreciated how you help folks. And so we decided, you know, maybe they can help us.
It sounds like in your question, it sounds like you've done a lot of therapy. You've listened to the show, that you're just kind of done and you want to get to the root of things and just like dig out the deepest infection, like deal with it. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think that we want to move forward as a family.
Okay.
But we have this, you know, this infection that we need to solve.
So you know what it requires to kind of get down to the depths of it? Do you know what it requires, Todd? Like, what? Why is it so hard to get to the root of it?
I don't know. I think, I think that for my initial response to that question is sort of on her, these childhood trauma on her.
Yeah, you kind of broke up on me there. Hey,
sorry.
Say that again, Todd. So,
yeah,
you mentioned childhood trauma.
Yeah, unearthed childhood traumas and unearthed sort of past behaviors, past experiences.
Yeah.
Try to understand those together.
Yeah. Okay. So you're spot on, but before we go there, let's back up a little bit. And I want to ask you, and Sandra, by the way, you have a perspective here that's really important. So feel free to chime in whenever. Okay. As we kind of go through this. But Todd, I want to ask you, And let's try to do this without judgment. And this might be kind of hard to talk about, but I want to ask you, what does having affairs do for you? How does it help you? How does it serve you?
So in the short term, in that moment, I feel... Let me answer it a little differently. In the general course of our relationship, I feel beaten up. I feel small. I feel like I don't have a voice. I often feel unwanted. And I really want to suggest those aren't all Sandra's fault necessarily. But in the moment of having the affair, there are times when, regardless of how low I feel generally, in a moment I feel wanted, desire, I'll call it love. There's a high that comes from it.
Yeah. Tyler, anything you want to add in here?
Yeah, I actually kind of want to know if it's okay with you, Sandra. I'd like to pull you into this for just a second and just kind of ask you guys. This is going to sound weird and it's just more for clarification, but how do you guys generally communicate with one another? Is it a pretty good give and take, or does it feel like it's one directional?
I think that it's been different over the years, I will say. I think at the onset, it was probably a little more my way. Todd was easier to give in on things, and so it just seemed easy. I would say once I learned about how he was feeling in the relationship, I was certainly more aware of that and sensitive to it. I don't think it solved it, obviously. And I do think once I found out about the infidelities, I think as Todd calls it, you know, feeling beaten up, my communication is certainly hurtful. Which I know I'm doing to show him how hurt I am, but it doesn't make it, it doesn't make it kind or loving to him.
Okay. It's interesting. You guys are kind of describing, starting to describe something that's actually, it's like its own sort of puzzle that a lot of couples find themselves in, where you have, and I'm going to, you guys, please correct me on either side of this, but this is kind of what I'm seeing come together is that Todd, on one hand, you're saying in the relationship from the get-go, even though you may not have vocalized it or set any boundaries, you were pretty quick to give in on your boundaries, on your own values, on your own opinions. The result of that had the internal story being that you were being devalued, you were unwanted, unloved, beat up, whatever. You then went and made choices to try to fill those voids without ever being able to do it inside the relationship with your wife, that then those choices actually elicited that trauma response for you, Sandra. And that trauma response then leads you to go into self-protective modes that are just the natural, the body's natural way of trying to defend itself, that end up reinforcing the very things that you don't want reinforced in the relationship. And so it's this negative spiral that starts to cycle where, you know, Todd, you go less and less into stepping into the relationship with her and discussing the things that are going on for you, because number one, you haven't figured those out for yourself individually anyway yet. And then Sandra, you see it on one hand going, I want him to be honest. I want him to be open. I want him to be this. But then when I start to get those things from him after I've experienced this pain, it's really hard for me to be the one to hold that space for him because you've been betrayed and because you don't know if there's real trust there. Is that close? Is that right?
Yeah, I'll say that's spot on. This negative loop is where we are, where we've been for a long time. I will also add, sort of personally, I am generally a people pleaser. So it's not just in relation to Sandra that I face these challenges, but they are exacerbated by
the
damage. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Todd. You cut out, so keep going.
I was just saying they're exacerbated by the damage that I've caused.
Before you keep going forward, as you guys are talking, I think, I don't know where your mics are at, but there's some really good audio and then it kind of goes in and out. So I don't know if you guys are moving your faces or not, but just try to stay in your mics if you can. Ahead, Brandon.
My guess is that Todd, you feeling beaten up, I wrote these down, beaten up, small, unwanted, unseen, that those feelings aren't inside of you because of Sandra. Yet in your relationship with Sandra, you find evidence of that, which goes to show that those feelings and that part of you that feels beaten up, small, and unwanted, that's a pretty young part inside of you. Something happened in your childhood where you felt that way over and over again. And like what Tyler was outlining when he was talking about the cycle, you now get into relationships and the people that you're closest in relationships with, you create this scenario again and again. It's interesting. Sandra, I'm sure Sandra's been pissed off. I'm sure she's had issues with your behavior. I'm sure she's been hurt. But you've cheated on her multiple times and she's sitting here today. That doesn't say that you're unwanted. Do you see what I'm saying, Todd?
Yeah.
So what do you think about what I'm saying? And I'm wondering what age is this part that feels beaten up, small, and unwanted? And what happened to you that now this is part of your identity and who you are?
So you referenced having this with other relationships, and it's not just Sandra. Mm-hmm. And I think that's totally accurate. I think I do create this cycle in most of my relationships. I'm only child from my family that was separated very young. When I was, you know, before I was a year old. And going back and forth between the different things, and not really having a voice to be able to make a decision about what I want to do, where I want to be, I left me feeling insignificant. And that's something I've carried with me for my life. And it's very difficult. Very difficult for me to deal with.
So, Todd, I want you to, and maybe you've done this type of work before, but that part of you, that really vulnerable part that feels that way because of your trauma, because of your past, instead of trying to change that part, what I want you to do is actually claim that part, love that part, notice that part inside of you. So when it comes up, when you feel beaten up, small, insignificant, and unwanted, that part inside of you is saying, hey, you need to go get some connection. You need some love. You need some, like, come on, right? And what we don't want to do is say, don't do that. Like, be a man, be tough, be strong. We want you to stop and say, okay, wow. Like, there that is. Like, it's trying to take care of me. And you almost want to give it like a virtual hug, so to speak. Like, hey, I see you. You're okay. Because if you don't acknowledge it and claim it, it will stay inside of you. And then these other parts will come out, and they're called firefighter parts. And what they'll do is they'll start to soothe. So your firefighter parts take you to that woman at work or on the internet or whatever that says, here, come soothe this part. Come take care of me. Right? Now, if those firefighter parts come out, you want to notice that and say, okay, like, I'm going to notice you, but not keep bringing you out. But I want to get down to this really deep shame-based part inside of me and love him. He needs love right now, and acknowledge him. He just needs to be claimed. And what you're not doing is you're not conscious of that. You're not claiming it, and you're not nurturing it and loving that part inside of you. And so now you're trying to get that love somewhere else. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Brandon, I think what makes this kind of challenging is that part feels vulnerable. So as you're talking, Brandon, I'm picturing this boy being passed back and forth between two parents. We don't know what kind of relationship your parents had. You haven't explained that yet, Todd, but I can imagine being the kid in the middle and being passed back and forth. And it would make sense to me. I'm making up a whole story in my head now, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but a little boy who's trying to figure out where to fit in and how to get nurtured, it's natural that he's going to try to please people, try to not make waves, try to, you know, you can almost hear the beginning of the pattern happening really early that has now been carried into the marriage. And in a certain sense, you've got your wife here, and then you've been passing yourself back and forth to other places, still playing the same game, trying to fill the void that's been there all along. And the challenge to all of this, Brandon, and this is what I think you're explaining that's difficult, that the challenge to all of that is that part of the solution is to actually bring to the surface and bring to light the part that is so scared to be seen.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing in the pattern over, like, I mean, Todd, you kind of gave us great insight right at the beginning of this, where you said, our whole marriage, I've been fighting this, and there's never been honesty. And I think you meant that in, like, honesty in terms of disclosure of behaviors. But I actually wonder if the honesty has been, there's never been a vulnerable place for these vulnerable parts of you to actually be seen, to actually be vocalized, to actually be valued. And so the cycle continues to play out because we're playing with a set of rules still and a game and rules of the game that are always going to lead back to the same pursuit of the wrong way of getting my needs met, instead of instead of bringing to light the very things, like, you can't stay in the dark anymore with this stuff. It needs to come to the surface. It needs to come to light.
But, and Tyler, exactly like that. And that's what I'm saying, to dig down to the root, like the real infection here. Right. And I hate to even call it an infection because there's a negative connotation to that. Right. To dig down to the most sensitive, painful part here, is scary, because the dishonesty, the people pleasing, that having the affairs, all of those things are protecting against that. Like, all of those things are systems to not go there. Right. And so, Todd, if you can learn how to like get very conscious and aware of yourself and say, oh, I want to go there, and that makes sense, or I want to do that, I want to lie to Sandra right now, I want to minimize this, I want to people please with her. Why? Because deep down inside of me, there's this pain. And Brandon, this pain is real for me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm thinking of somebody else. We just got done with the Rising Sun retreat, and there was one of the participants at the retreat that kind of has the same, rings the same thing. And I remember talking to you afterwards. We were talking about this guy, and we're like, what's going to shake him loose? Like, what does he need? And he's this guy who's like, he looks so good in everybody's eyes, but then he's got all these secrets underneath the surface. And I think both of us came to the conclusion that the best thing that could happen for him is if all of his secrets came out to the people in his life and he had to deal in reality, where, you know, if all of a sudden he didn't have to manage his image for his parents, he didn't have to manage his image for the people at church, and he didn't have to manage his image anymore for, and he just was able to deal in reality that he's a really good guy who's got some issues, and that he can work on those issues because he's a really good guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be the pathway to freedom. And that's where the pinch point is. It funnels down into that fearful place. And that's what's so hard about this inside the relationship is that what we want on both sides, like, Todd, you want to be the kind of man who can hold your wife and her feelings. And every time her feelings come up, if you're getting knocked out, the wind knocked out from you, going like, oh, more proof that I'm unwanted and I'm devalued. And it's like, but then you can't hold her space for her. And then she has a hard time holding space for you. And that's where the work is shame resiliency on both sides actually allows for you to hold that space and have a different experience for those younger parts than you've had before. That's the work. That's the difficult part of all of this.
You know, Todd, like, let's say Sandra comes home from work. And this probably would never happen, but let's say she comes home from work and she says, hey, Todd, like the house is a freaking mess. You suck. Like, what the heck? Okay. Let's say she says that to you. And she's serious, and there's this tone of just like disappointment. What would you do in that scenario?
I'd probably accept it.
You'd accept
it? I'd accept it, be quiet, acknowledge it. Try to figure out a way to fix it.
Okay. So fascinating. And that's what I would expect. You're saying you're somewhat of a Mr. Nice Guy. You want to make things right. Right. So when she's saying you suck, that's not true, but you're saying I would accept that. I'd accept that, hey, this isn't good. This isn't okay. I got to fix this. Okay. And so if you go off and you do the dishes and you try to clean the whole house and she's still like, yeah, I'm like, stay away from me. Like, I'm good. I need a break from you. Don't get close to me. Then what?
I would honestly gladly stay away.
You would gladly stay away.
Yeah, because she's, you know, any contact with her wouldn't be positive.
Okay, interesting. Do we know that?
I know I don't know that, but past experience has told me that. So,
okay. So I hate the word negative when it comes to emotion, but in her negative emotions, it's like, okay, I'm going to retreat and stay away until like she's calmed down. Right. When you go into protection mode of yourself, Todd, it's really hard to connect to somebody else. And protection mode of yourself can look seemingly good. Like, okay, I'll do the dishes. I'll fix this and then I'll stay away. Sandra might be screaming out for connection in this moment, but you don't know that. Right. But when your parts are there to protect you, when you're trying to not be seen as this unworthy of love person that you learned that you were as a child, you're more concerned naturally and unconsciously of yourself than you are of connecting to her. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So in that moment, if she comes home and she says, "You suck, why didn't you clean the dishes?" And if you have these parts of like, "Oh, I got to fix this," or this, "I need to make this right," or "I need to disconnect," and all these protective parts come up and you start to act out in those parts, then what you're not doing is connecting to her. If you notice those parts come up and you say, "Oh, look at all those parts that want to fix this and make it right and be the good guy. Interesting. I'm going to notice that I want to protect myself here, but I'm going to come back to her now and just say, whoa, where are you at today? What's going on? Help me understand." And we don't know where she's going to go. But the beauty of it is you're now strong enough and in a place where you've dealt with your own pain, you've dealt with your own stuff, that you can now hold space for her. And this takes work to do, Todd. This doesn't happen overnight. But what I'm trying to illustrate is, you know, this cycle that Tyler was talking about of you creating unlovability, you can actually change, but that work is done individually for you to really know yourself, to love yourself in those moments so that then you can diffuse those parts some and connect back to her. You following me?
Yeah.
I with Brandon, with what you're saying, I think the challenge to what you're saying is that our brains, especially when we're in high alert emotionally, we're cued towards all or nothing, black and white. And what you just described is a nuanced approach where, in your example, and you know, we're just using this as an example, the middle ground is for Todd to be able to see the part of himself that wants to self-protect and apply compassion at the same time that he sees that this might be a big connection for connection from his wife, and being able to step into that strength. And in a sense, he has to figure out a balance of, I need to know the part that, here's the nuanced part, I need to know the part that I can take ownership for and the part that I need to not take ownership for. So when she says, "You suck, this, 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 and this," he needs to be able to separate that out and go, "There's my I suck part of me. Okay, I'm going to look at that and give some compassion a second, but I can own that I sometimes fall short, or that I maybe did these behaviors, but I will not own that I suck."
Because he doesn't.
Right. And yeah. So now it's like, that's the internal work that then allows the play of the relationship to change and be a little bit different. It's hard to find that middle ground when all or nothing is trying to be in protection. I want to just, Sandra, you've just been kind of sitting here listening to me and Brandon go off on this. I kind of wonder, Sandra, what's going through you, and if you have any thoughts or anything else you'd want to add here.
I'm just finding it really helpful, I think, to listen and try to understand more about his experience and what he deals with, because I think for me, the way forward, like the only way forward for me, is if I can kind of find compassion for him in this latest episode. And I've just had a really hard time doing that. And I often am so stuck in how I'm feeling. You know, when I learn of something new or learn that he has not been honest, I get so stuck in my own world, that it's really hard for me to sit with him and understand his experience and why he would have done X, Y, or Z. Ultimately, I want to be connected to him. Like, I want to know him. And the thing that scares me the most is, like, I feel like I don't know my own husband.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I think in some ways you probably are right about that. You don't. He's saying that he's been basically performing in some ways for your guys' whole marriage because he's been so afraid of being unwanted and rejected. Right. So you're not wrong about that. And Sandra, on your end, you illustrated this really well, is that this is a two-way street. So everything we're saying to Todd in some ways applies to your side too, of like, it's really hard to be able to sift through your own stuff when your emotions are at a 10 on a scale of 0 to 10, and you got someone saying, hey, understand him and hold space. It's like, that doesn't work. There needs to be some level of ability to go, I need to attend to my emotions, my fears, my worries, all of that other stuff. And if I can get that down from maybe a 10 down to a 6, then maybe I can lean in and see his perspective while I still value my own experience. And that's why there's this his, hers, and ours kind of work that has to happen, because if there's only his or only hers, then ours can't happen because there's always somebody up at the 10 range emotionally, so they can't lean back in.
I love what you said, Sandra. I want to know my husband. Todd, I think you want to know you too. And I think you don't really know. I think you do know deep down who you really are. But you've been living in this shame for so long. You don't trust that you are as amazing as you actually are. I did this, the reason I go straight to parts today with you guys, I've been getting trained in parts work for the last, 2 days. I just barely went through a training and I asked the guy, I asked him an interesting question. We were talking about, they talk about what's called the exile part, and that's the most vulnerable, shame-based, terrified of abandonment part inside of us. And it's the part that we do everything we can to protect and hide from. And Todd, that's where we've really hovered around for you today in this episode is your exile part. And they say in my training, they say, you know what? Like you don't go down to those exile parts quickly with people. You make sure, they're aware of all their other parts before we get there. But I asked him a question, and this is kind of did you have a comment, Tyler?
No, I was going to say, and then today in a single episode, we're going right down to his exiled parts.
Yeah. I mean, Todd, you came in, you said, I want to go to the root. So I was like, okay, let's go. I asked the trainer a random question, and this isn't my way to work in plant medicine, but I asked him, how does parts work integrate with plant medicine? And he said, plant medicine's interesting because if you have a certain journey, you'll find out that you're beautiful, you're powerful, that you're unconditionally loved by God. And you'll feel that because of all your other protective parts are out of the way, and you can have that experience of plant medicine. But then when you come out of your journey, your exile parts don't know what to do with that because they've never actually known and experienced that. It's uncomfortable because you actually felt the truth finally. And that's fascinating to me, where we spend our lives protecting our shame, but we're naturally good. I mean, having affairs, Todd, is not okay. That's not cool, right? And there's consequences to that. And that's not okay with Sandra, right, Sandra?
Right.
But we can look at this and say, you know what? That was a means to soothe and to protect and take care of yourself, Todd. Good job. You did it that way. You found parts that got you to do it that way. Yay. But now let's get your powerful, loving, strong, masculine self to step in instead of those parts, because that's who you really are. And you're going to feel uncomfortable stepping into those parts because deep down you have these exile parts that don't believe who you actually are, right? So it's going to be uncomfortable. Okay. So yeah, we've dove in the deep end today, quickly. So any thoughts, Andrew Todd? Go ahead, Tyler.
I was just going to say, Brandon, I know that this is like a single episode. We're kind of leaving Todd and Sandra in a spot where it's like, okay, we've had this discussion about these parts and things, but where would you suggest like Sandra and Todd go, or what they might engage in as they move forward from here? Because we know that we honestly just barely scratched the surface today.
Yeah, well, we're doing a root canal. You know, we dug down to the root, and now it's like, okay, on your way, Sandra and Todd, have fun, you know, and that's not cool. It's not okay. Todd, what kind of trauma work have you done?
I've seen several different therapists over the years. I've tried to understand my childhood. Exhaustively.
Have you done certain modalities? Have you done EMDR, internal family systems?
Done EMDR.
Okay.
One of the therapists I went to was in EMDR.
Okay. I would suggest, it sounds like you've tried therapy a lot. A couple of things, and Tyler, chime in here because I'm sure I'll miss some things. I would find a therapist who does specialize in some trauma work and is either really good at internal family systems or inner child work. There's some similarity, but there's some difference. And you say you've exhaustedly kind of processed your childhood. What you need is tools as to how to navigate when triggers come up, and do that consistently, and then practice in real time with Sandra. And so you can experience something different again and again. What you don't need is just to go to a therapist and talk about your childhood, just process it and talk about it and whatever. And so that's why internal family systems will help you with those tools to step into it. When that trigger fires off, it's like, oh, there's my trauma. I can now act in a different way. Another thing I would suggest is to really tap into your healthy masculinity. And I don't know where you're at with your relationship with God, but to do some good group work with healthy men, to do possibly some retreats, to have some experiences where you are able to be really vulnerable and still be loved, still be seen, have the opposite experience than what you had as a child where you were passed back and forth. Rather, you're held in those moments. And there is possibility and opportunity for that. So, Tyler, anything else?
No, I think just general principles you're hitting on, Brandon, but you could do another 10 years of just straight talk therapy and be in the exact same spot that you're at, in my opinion. And what I think Brandon's getting at is that gearing more towards two things in my mind. One is the skill set of honesty and assertiveness is something that can be personally worked on. And that's going to be more of like your basic sort of like assertiveness tools, like on, you know, normal therapy. That's what Brandon's alluding to for group or something might be helpful, but really the other path to this is emotionally corrective experience. So specific modalities of treatment like IFS or EMDR or ART when they're done right, or, you know, plant medicine or specific kinds of retreats or an emotionally corrective experience. So those two things, emotional and experience with the word corrective in between. It's like that part of you gets a chance to get held. So, you know, the guy I was talking about, Brandon, that I was telling you from the retreat, he came into group the week afterwards and was like, you guys have never experienced anything like that retreat. There were so many men who were so honest. He's like, I didn't realize it was possible to live that way. And that's all I want to do now.
Yeah,
right.
That's awesome.
Because he was held, his false patterns were fractured because in his vulnerability, he had 30 other dudes going, you're the man, like, we love you. And he had never experienced that before, but now that inner child part of him is going, oh, maybe I can let people in a little bit more. And it's that emotionally corrective experience that really matters. So anyway, that would be, I think, steps of next direction. I hope we're not leaving you too far off of the edge of the cliff, Sandra and Todd. Any last thoughts or impressions, you guys?
This has been helpful.
I think I lost you. I think I heard you say this has been helpful. Is that what you said, Todd?
Yeah, I said this has been helpful. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Thank you for your willingness to come on. I know that it's a challenge to even come on and have a discussion around these things, especially with not knowing exactly where it's going to go. So thank you to you guys for coming. Thank you to our listeners who are here listening and supporting us, and also by proxy supporting you and Sandra, Todd. So thank you guys.
Sandra, Todd, appreciate you guys. Thank you.